afternoon. You all are our last oral argument for the term. So we're looking forward to having a specially good one. For this case, Justice David Prosser, who sits next to Justice Gableman, is not participating. Justice Shirley Abrahamson is, and I'm not sure why she's not here. I just saw her a moment ago, but I assume she'll be joining us momentarily. So we will call our third case for today, 14 AP 827, State versus McKellip. Are you ready to proceed? Please do.
Good afternoon. May it please the court. I'm Assistant Attorney General Kate Lloyd, representing the state of Wisconsin on the state's petition for review from the Court of Appeals decision reversing McKellip's conviction for the use of a computer to facilitate a child sex crime, contrary to 948-0751-R. The state is here to ask the court to reverse that decision and to find that the Court of Appeals erroneously exercised its discretion in its conclusion that an error in the jury instruction prevented the real controversy from being fully tried. In the Court of Appeals, Mr. McKellip had argued that his behavior did not violate the statute because his cell phone was so basic that as a matter of law, the phone could not have been used to access a computerized communication system. He had also argued that the statute was unconstitutionally vague because a person of normal intelligence would not know that the use of a track phone to send text messages to a minor to facilitate a sex crime was illegal.
One of your comments, counsel.
Sorry.
Take your time.
I feel a little like this is too tall for me.
One of your comments, counsel, has raised a question. You made a reference to your opposing counsel's argument that phone here could not be used to access a computerized communications device. Is that the question that we are looking at, or are we looking at the question whether the track phone itself constituted a computerized communications device?
Well, in the petition for...
Just tell me what you think the question is for us.
I think that the question is whether or not the phone is used as a computer to access a computerized communication system.
So it's part of the system, right?
I think that that's correct.
Okay, that's what I took
I think
your
that
argument
that's a,
as also.
A better way to frame it, and I think it was misframed a bit in the trial court, partially probably, I'm guessing, because of the title of the statute, the use of a computer. Mm-hmm. I think, as I note in my brief, as a practical matter, I don't really know how you'd use a cell phone in a way that a cell phone is intended to be used without accessing the computerized communication system. But I do think they're two different things. I think the phone is a computer, and when used as it's intended to be used, whether to send text messages or pictures or voice messages, it's then accessing a system.
And does it become itself part of that system?
I hadn't thought of it that way.
Okay, well, that's how I interpret your argument, so maybe I was interpreting it.
I mean, I guess I still think the phone is a computer. Does it become part of the system? I suppose, in a way, yeah, I suppose it does.
Okay, thank you.
All phones are computers?
I think probably today. I don't know if you can find some sort of old rotary type phone that's in some country that's still plugged in some way that's not accessing some computerized system.
How about Richland County?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not familiar with a phone today that wouldn't be a computer.
That includes landlines.
I think so. I don't...
Every phone, cell, smart, landline, they're all computer, part of a communicative system.
I think so.
So what isn't?
What kind of phone isn't, or what isn't a computerized communication system?
Give me an example of something that's not, and then...
This piece of paper is not a computerized communication system.
Not yet.
It's not a computerized communication system.
Oh, what about, can't we put a chip on it or in it?
If you could put a chip in it and connect it to a greater system,
right?
Maybe. I don't know how that would work, but...
What about chips in human beings that they're putting in?
And then using that chip to connect to another human being?
Chip that will tell the hospital what your blood pressure is. You how many steps you take.
Maybe, but I don't know how you'd use that to facilitate a child sex crime, but...
Oh. How did they do it here?
By sending text messages to each other and then having an act in furtherance of that crime.
Let me just ask you this. Since we now established that the state thinks even a landline is... falls within the statute, right?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of instruction should be given to the jury? Here they instructed as to what a computer is from another statute. They talked about a system from another statute. What kind of instruction should be given? Now, here the instruction was... You agree the instruction was erroneous? The part of the instruction that said... about this computer device?
I think that it went too far. I don't think it needed to say, I don't think that the court needed to add in the part that it needed, that the jury needed to find that the phone was a computerized communication system. I think that was unnecessary. I think the instruction on the whole was fine. It gave the pattern instruction, and then it added an unnecessary part, sort of like in, sort of like in a lot of cases, I suppose. But, yeah, I think it went and added an additional element, I suppose.
But otherwise, the instruction was okay?
Yes, I think so. And I think that if you're asking me what I think, generally, you know, we often let juries determine their own understanding of words, but I think given the definition of computer that the pattern instruction says can be given from the statute, and then as well as computer system, I think juries certainly can define communication for themselves. I think we all understand communication to be an exchange of ideas or information. And a system, I mean, it is certainly a couple of parts that are connected somehow. I think these are pretty ordinary terms, so just parsing them out and putting them together isn't, I don't think, overly complex for a jury.
You know, counsel, one of the questions that came to my mind as I was reading the briefs in this matter is, do you agree with the concept that the statutes at issue here that all relate to a computerized communication system were passed, if not in response to, as your opposing counsel argue, at least at a time when the computers were just becoming to be available to the public and they started the forerunners of Facebook and Twitter and all these other social media, there were chat rooms. And I don't know specifically what they are, but I suppose it's pretty self-descriptive. And in those chat rooms, there were people who were trying to communicate with minors and trying to arrange meetings with minors for the purposes of having sexual contact. It seems that from the date of the statutes that reference computerized communication systems, I don't think it would be too much of a stretch to think that's what the legislature had in mind. Now, what's your response to that idea?
Well, a couple of things. I think personal computers certainly predate the statute. I think people had personal computers well before 2003. As for Facebook, as well as chat rooms.
Well, sure, but it's going to take the legislature some time. I don't think it's going to be, it would be rather unrealistic to expect the legislature to anticipate a piece of technology being used for a particular crime. There are going to be victims, and then there are going to be cries for legislative assistance. And so I'm just asking, do you think that these laws were passed in response to the use of the more traditional, when I say the word computer, I am of a mind, I think of a thing that sits on someone's desk and is large. And is that the kind of thing the legislature had in mind?
I think the legislature very well could have had that in mind, but I think the reason that they didn't use chat room and internet may be because exactly what you just said is that because they know that technology moves quickly and they can't catch up with it. So they used generalized terms, and knowing that it took them 10, 15 years to get there in the first place, they knew that they needed to pass something more general to protect children because these predators moved faster than the legislature could. So they used a more generalized term instead of using chat rooms or internet.
Well, did they have in 2003, does the record disclose whether there were portable phones capable of accessing the internet?
It's not in the record, but I...
It's not in the record, then it's not in the record.
Right, and it's his burden to show that this was unconstitutionally vague.
Well, I'm not even to vagueness yet. I'm still at the point of wondering whether, I believe we're talking about a track phone here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something that I think you could probably buy at Walmart or Target or whatever for about $30 or less. I don't know. And I'm just, help me reconcile the idea that some disposable phone that people can buy for $30 is the kind of computer or computerized communications device that the legislature had in mind when it passed the statute.
I don't think it has to be the kind of thing that the legislature had in mind when it passed.
You want us to say that it falls within the statute that would expose this person to 10 years in the Wisconsin prison system.
Well, I disagree. I think that the legislature uses broad terms to encompass how things change. It's a computer. It accesses a computerized communication system. The legislature was interested in protecting children from predators, whether it's on a laptop or...
You keep using the phrase, it accesses a computerized... Don't the words of the statute prohibit the use of a computerized communication system?
Right.
For the facilitation of these kinds of crimes?
Mm-hmm. And the phone used a computerized communication system.
And the phone used?
The defendant used a phone to use the computerized... The defendant used the computerized communication system.
These messages were pictures, among other things, right?
Yes.
And words?
Yes.
Your position is that the use of the phone as a phone, use of this device, this computer, was part of a system when it used voicemail, right?
Yes, although I think so, but I think that he was probably convicted on the text messages and the pictures, but I think the voicemail is the problem too, and the phone calls.
You know what bothers me? Is, and with all due respect, and I think this is true in the Court of Appeals decision, I don't think that you know, and I don't know, and I don't think the author of the Court of Appeals decision knows what is a computer communicative system. Because it seems to me that the position is that this does access the internet, therefore it is part of it. You've got the phone, you got voicemail, you got the pictures, right?
Mm-hmm.
And suppose they just use voicemail. Does that fit within the statute?
I think it probably does.
Well, it either does or it doesn't. Why do you say probably?
Well, because I mean, I don't have the facts here, and I don't have an expert testifying as to how that works with voicemail.
And isn't that the whole problem in this case?
No, because we have an expert testifying as how it works with text messages and the pictures, and that was enough to convict him.
Counsel, I want to clear something up because it is in opposing counsel's brief. And I look at the statute. I don't see the word internet there at all. Okay, so I'm not persuaded that you have to access the internet in order to use a computerized communication system. What's your position on
that? That's the state's position at its core. 2003, the internet was well established. I mean, the internet's been around for a long time, and the legislature, I'm going to presume, was well aware of the internet in 2003 and understood what it was trying to prohibit. And why the legislature would be interested in prohibiting only a predator who accesses the internet to entice children into a sex crime, but it's okay for this loophole to go around and do it in another way, is nonsensical to me. And why they chose not to use the word internet, when that's a basic statutory construction, that's not an obscure word, I can't think of a reason why they wouldn't have used it.
I'd like to return to the jury instruction.
Sure.
Is that okay? The jury instruction, in part, given by the court, indicated that the phone constitutes a computerized communication system. Is that error?
Well, given the Chief's earlier point about how the phone then becomes part of the system if it's used as a cell phone, I'm now retracting that maybe that's actually not error, and that maybe it can be both the computer, and then when it's used as the phone, it then also becomes part of the system. I mean, maybe
does it make a difference? Sounds like we're really parsing things, but of course that's our job. Whether it becomes part of the system or it's a matter of having access to the system, is access to the system the same as having as being part of the system?
And this probably goes beyond my understanding of how any of this works, but I would say there are probably things that are part of the system that maybe don't access it, but I think that it makes a lot of sense to think that the phone is a computer on its own, and then, you know, if you're just using it to maybe, you know, as a calculator or something, it's not using the computerized communication system. It's just being used as a calculator, or, you know, you're using it, I don't know, in another way you use your phone. And then when you use it as a cell phone or a text messaging, then you're using the system, and then it becomes part of the system. So then maybe it is both. It's both the system and the computer.
So what's your position? It is or is not error? Because the language that I understand is an issue here is the instruction to the jury, which is on page 20 of your red brief, and it's also on pages 8 and 9 of your red brief. The jury was instructed, you must determine whether the phone described in the evidence constitutes a computerized communication system. And the argument was that the phone is a device, and that a device per se is not a computerized communication system. but that the use of that device in particular ways could become part of a computerized communication system. I thought that you agreed, when I say you, the state agreed that that is error because it defines a computerized communication system as a computer.
Well, without trying to sound like I'm waffling here, in the Court of Appeals, I was okay with it being, I thought it was a computerized communication system because of the way the arguments were framed. Then the Court of Appeals sort of convinced me otherwise, and I thought, well, I can see that it's a computer using a computerized communication system, and that this instruction, I don't think I, maybe I said it was error, but I thought it was more just not precise. Now I still think it may not be quite precise. I don't think it's misleading. I just don't think it confused the jury is my bigger position. But now I'm more convinced by the Chief Justice's position that when used as a cell phone, if you will, or as to communicate, it becomes part of the system.
Well, if it's part of the system, the jury instruction said it constituted the system. Mm-hmm. Not part of the system,
right.
But it constituted it. That was the assigned error.
Well, right. And I think that the circuit court, and again, this was a stipulated instruction that all the parties
right.
and the judge agreed to. So I think that the best practice would be that the circuit courts omit this language and just stick with the pattern instruction. But this is why, we don't believe this was a miscarriage of, an interest of justice case.
So you think it's harmless error if it was error?
Yes.
You know, you've used the phrase, I don't know how all of this stuff works. I won't say that you were wishy-washy because you asked us not to say that, but you've been rather fluid in your positions. And I'm not saying that in a scolding manner. I say that for the purpose of asking you, if you, as the state's representative, are having this much difficulty articulating what exactly constitutes a computerized communication system. I mean, we're talking about a real person here who's been sentenced to prison in prison for 10 years. And it comes down to whether he used a computerized communication system to facilitate a sex crime. It seems to me, and when I read the briefs, it seems to me the state is asking us to assume a number of things. You rather insouciantly said, well, maybe there's some place that still uses a switchboard. I have no idea how the telephone company works. I don't know that anyone in this... Well, aren't you asking us to assume an awful lot? Assume that by using a track phone to call another person, that device has become transformed into a computer?
No.
Let's start with that.
No. Well, I mean, I am because that's what the expert testified to. There's testimony. That was a jury question, as the defendant's counsel.
I thought it was the text messaging and the photograph. I believe there was one, my recollection of the record is one photograph and two text messages.
I believe there were 10 photographs, but the jury, if we were talking about a phone like that, then there would be an expert saying it's a phone like this, and then the jury would say, well, that's not.
So say he used the phone. Say there are no text messages. Say there are no photographs. And it was solely by voice, by a call, and it was solely a verbal communication. Hey, will you meet me at the cheap motel by the airport so that we can have a romantic liaison? Is that the facilitation of a sex crime by use of a computerized communication system?
Well, and there's another overt act, perhaps. But
what?
There would be another overt act. It could be perhaps, but you have to have, presumably, an expert testifying that there is some computer involved in that computerized communication system, just as there is in this case. Just because I'm not an expert on how the computer works doesn't mean that you can't have a trial.
What did the expert? The expert testified, as I recall, that for text messages and photographs, that it accessed a computerized system.
Right.
Yes? Okay. So the text messages, as recited in your opposing counsel's briefs, say that there were two quotes, that there were two text messages that were introduced into evidence during a five-day jury trial. And they are as follows. The first, quote, "I love you, baby doll," end quote. Second, quote, "morning," period, "beautiful day yesterday," period, end quote. Is that right?
The substance of those two text messages, yes, because they couldn't get any more off of the phone because he turned in the phone.
Those were the two text messages.
The substance of the two text messages. There were thousands of text messages introduced from the phone records.
Counsel, I was looking at other places in the statutes that talk about the Internet. And should we give any weight to the notion that the legislature has in other places decided to define, for example, in 48.825, Internet account? And then it specifically says it means an account created within a bounded system established by Internet-based, and it keeps going on. And the legislature knows how to use the word Internet. In 7751, there are various definitions of international telecommunications services, Internet access services. That means sending messages and information transmitted through the use of local, toll, wide area, telephone service, channel services, telegraph services, teletypewriter, computer exchange services, cellular mobile telecommunications service, specialized, and it goes on and on and on and on, including a variety of ways to communicate. I mean, if the legislature intended to somehow limit communications to, and it looks here like even Internet access services includes telephone communications, do you think it would have used those words?
I see that my red light is
on. Yeah, answer it. Before you do, I don't understand your question, and I'm interested in it. Would you
when the legislature uses the word Internet, first off, in other places where it has, it seems to be very broadly defined to include telephone communications.
Okay, but this statute doesn't have the word, so I'm
and some people seem to indicate that this statute has to mean that the Internet is somehow involved, that it can't be something other than sitting at a computer using the Internet. If the legislature intended those kinds of limits, would it have, do you think, defined it differently or perhaps not been so broad in scope in other areas of the statutes where it has used the phrase Internet?
Yes, I'm fairly certain that legislatures know how to regulate the Internet. And I think that if it had intended to narrow this statute in that way to just protect children on the Internet, it would have used the word Internet.
Fine. Thank you very much.
I have a question for you. My understanding of this legislation was that the legislature recognized that technology changes, and that it could not foresee every particular change in the technology, except that it could foresee that there would be changes in technology. And that the goal of this statute was to cover the waterfront. So if there was new technology, old technology, it would be covered here. Maybe that's one reason they never defined what they were talking about. Isn't that right?
That's our position, yes.
And what is your position in that you now have a jury made up of people of ordinary intelligence and ordinary knowledge of phones or computers or internet, and yet you don't define it. You have a hard time explaining what is and isn't covered because you're not an expert, and I agree with that, and I'd have a hard time too. So why isn't this too vague?
Well, the
void for vagueness.
Because I think that, you know, for vagueness challenges, we just need a fair degree of, you know, it doesn't have to be mathematically precise. Computer is defined in the statute, so we give that definition. Then we have an expert testify about that this is a computer, and then we have a common sense understanding of what a communication is, which is just some sort of exchange of ideas, and then a system, which I think we all understand is at least two parts of something, which I think the expert also testified to, that this is a system, that the messages go through. And again, I realize I'm not the expert here, but there was an expert that testified that this is a system. There was no counter-expert to testify that this wasn't a system, that this wasn't a computer. And then the jury decides whether that expert, coupled with the jury instruction and the definition of computer and their common sense understanding of what communication and system means, whether these messages were transmitted or whether the defendant used a computerized communication system.
This expert was a person who repaired computers?
He owned a repair shop.
Owned a repair shop. Was he challenged under Dobert?
No, I don't believe so. I don't want to misspeak, but I don't think there was any challenge to the expert.
Was he able to explain how it all works?
It sounded to me like there was a little bit of, I think, a challenge to the data side and the, you know, whether the pictures were downloaded and that type of thing, but I don't think there was any serious challenge to whether the expert knew his business.
And the downloading the photos, you would say, or he would say, was clearly use of a computerized communicative system.
The expert, I don't think the expert concluded that that was a computerized communication system. The expert just testified that how this all works.
So they used the internet to get there.
The expert, I believe, testified that if the photos were downloaded, it would be the use of the internet or the data side of the plan.
And there was no charge for downloading these photos, even though the system, this phone, would have had a charge on it.
I believe there was some confusion on that because the officer testified that his review of the records revealed that when he looked at it, it looked to him like the pictures had been downloaded, but I am confused about that point at this juncture.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Scott Swid, and I'm here to argue on behalf of defendant Rory McAuliffe's. I'm joined by my associate, Benjamin Krautkramer, and it's our honor to be in front of you for your last argument of your session. You know, as I prepared for this case, it dawned upon me that the real issue that we're dealing with here is not so much a technical one, and I don't want my comments to be seen as insensitive. These are serious crimes against children. But it dawned on me that I have a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old, and all of the questions that you asked about this technology, they most likely know the answers. Because the generations below us communicate this way. The problem is in the state's brief on page 27, they argue to you that the issue before you is not whether this is a computerized communication system, but that in fact the defendant had the intent to have relations with the accuser and that he communicated with her. But that camouflages the issue. If the defendant would have spoken words to the accuser that he wanted to have sexual relations with her. That may violate a crime. That might be a crime. I don't know the answer to that. But it wouldn't be this crime. You know, back when I was in school, you passed notes. And if I passed someone a note saying, I want to have relations with you, that may be a crime, but not this crime.
Well, the facts of this could have been brought under any number of other criminal statutes, right?
I don't believe this, not this crime, not this crime they're charging him with.
He was charged with this crime, but there are umpteen other statutes that would have covered the facts here, that you wouldn't have to rely on a computerized communicative system.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer.
It doesn't matter, does it, because he wasn't charged with those.
Right.
So the question is, they selected a crime, they charged it with him, and the state has the burden of proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
I agree, but it goes further. You know, we give prosecutors discretion to use all the tools in their toolbox to prosecute defendants. And in days where we talk about probable cause and reasonable suspicion and totality of the circumstances, it is the prosecutor's duty to know the crime that they're charging the defendant with. Here, what occurred was, I mean, let's face it, there were two other charges before this one that everyone in that courtroom had their eyes focused on. This was the third of four charges. It got lost in part in this trial. This is a 5-day jury trial. And with all of the abbreviations, for all of us who know the anatomy of a trial, we know how they're abbreviated from time to time, whether it's a restroom break or a break for the lawyers to argue. In all of the abbreviations, the prosecutor wanted to focus their time and attention on the term computer. And that term, that definition that the court decided to put in, was confined to that statutory section which stated the term computer should be for this section. But my concern with this case is as follows. The prosecutor had the ability to use any of those other crimes that they felt may have applied. But the issue is, was there a computerized communication system used to facilitate this crime? And it's the prosecutor's responsibility to not only make sure that peg fits in the hole, but it goes beyond that. See, what the state is asking you to do is really something that's not a function of this court. What the state is asking you to do is a function of the legislative branch down the hall. Because as this term, which the Court of Appeals called a term of art, computerized information system, as that term is used, three times in the statutes, but not given any definition.
What do you think it means in terms of 947.0125?
I don't have the statute in front of me.
That's the statute that deals with someone who, with intent to frighten, intimidate, threaten, abuse, or harass, sends a message by electronic mail or, and then the phrase is repeatedly used, other computerized communication system. It's unlawful use of a telephone is another one, but I'm specifically focused on that one. Unlawful use of computerized communication systems. What do you think it means in terms of that? Because it references an electronic mail or other computerized communication system. Do you think it's okay? Do you think the legislature meant to say you can frighten, intimidate, threaten, abuse, harass somebody, just don't do it by email and don't do it by text message? Or do you think they meant don't do it by email and do you think, it seems like they meant to use that phrase really broadly to cover
people who try to communicate with someone and they shouldn't be communicating with them?
The answer to that question is we don't know. And the reason we don't know is because there's these three instances it's used for very different types of communication. You know, this evening I'm having dinner with an old friend from Madison. And when I'm done here, I'm going to text him that I'm concluded. I'm not going to tell him, please call me on my computerized communication system. I'm going to say to him, call me on my cell phone because you won't reach me at my hotel and I'm not at my office. When you know, I thought about that exact question that you posed. And the reason I thought about it is this. We colloquially speak differently than we write. We all know that. In my den at home, I have a set computer like Justice Gableman talked about. I have a laptop computer there as well. Ironically, I think I have too many computers. I also have a tablet, and at times I'll put myself, my BlackBerry down. When I tell someone from my family, please go get my tablet, they don't go and get my laptop. And when I ask them to please go get my phone, they don't bring me my cell phone. And when I ask them to bring me my cell phone, they bring me my cell phone. That's the entire issue here, because the term computerized communication system is the portal to the crime. Those other elements really don't deserve deliberation until we determine that, because using my example, if someone just said it, as Justice Abramson pointed out, it may be a crime, or perhaps as Justice...
But that's the point. Don't you think the legislature was trying to say, instead of saying tablet, iPhone, BlackBerry, track phone, that they used a broad phrase like computerized communication systems?
I have a
cover
really...
Cover all that and not have to amend it every time they come up with a new,
you
great
know,
technological change.
You know, it is true that technology moves fast. There's no dispute about that. I think we're at the point in our culture right now where social media is what's really moving at warp speed. I don't know that the technology itself is moving that fast. You know, we're in a day where the government can't even open an iPhone, right, but on its own without a lot of help. The problem with the structure of that statute is, you know, I'm a lawyer. I try cases. And I come before a circuit court judge for a client of mine who's going to be charged with a felony. And I have to defend that. And I now have a circuit court judge giving me a jury instruction that's different than the prosecutor thinks it is. That's different than I think it is. If you want to know how difficult this is, when you go back to deliberate on this case, all of you write a definition for what computerized communication system means and compare notes and see how they comport with each other.
Maybe we should start with pornography first, right? Juries still have to decide what that is. Even, I mean, that's when we ask them to have their common sense and decide, you know.
But doesn't that go back to the DeClaire case that Justice Stewart, when DeClaire versus Ohio, when he said, I don't know how to define obscenity, but I know it when I see it. I think here the gross issue is you're talking about a computerized communications system. It's three words. As Judge Hoover authored in the Court of Appeals opinion, they gave the jury an impossible task. These are 12 people. I can't fathom going to 12 ordinary people of common intelligence and say, here's a notepad, tell me what a computerized information
but
is.
But that's what the purpose of the expert
that's
was, right? There was expert testimony here.
That said it
and
is.
What?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Let's focus in on the expert testimony. As I understand it, the expert who was called was someone who was in the business of repairing computers. And his testimony included the notions that in order to send and receive text messages and to, let's start with that because there's also photographs. In order to send and receive text messages, that is a device that constitutes a computer. I think that's a fair summary of his testimony as far as that goes?
I think the expert was someone who owned a computer repair shop. It was his first time serving as an expert, and the focus was more on computer than computerized information system.
But to my specific question.
I think he vacillated on that issue, Justice Gableman. I don't think he answered that clearly. I think he answered the second issue
the
more
photograph.
Clearly about the photographs.
Okay, yes. I think, and that's where I got, there was testimony about one photograph, I thought. That was my memory. Your opposing counsel says 10.
Well, if you look at footnote 3 of the Court of Appeals decision, Judge Hoover addressed that. The expert testified that he couldn't tell. He could not confirm or deny that issue of whether, in fact, those messages were received or looked at.
Messages or photographs?
I beg your pardon. Photographs. Photographs. When counsel was talking about the thousands of text messages, I believe what she was referring to is the state introduced bills, invoices that show the scrolling of the text messages. So they show the number and the time.
Okay.
And unlike cell phone calls, they don't show the minutes, right, because they just are a text. They introduced the content of two. So those two that we put in our brief, those were the only two that were introduced to the jury. I tried to go and get the messages. They don't exist. They're gone. Now, as it relates to the photos, the expert that the prosecution called said that he did not believe that they were received and looked at because of the charges on the bills.
I thought there wasn't there testimony that there was your client himself say that he had downloaded one photograph?
No, I think his testimony was he didn't know how to do that, and that he wouldn't, when you get an email and there's an attachment to it and it shows, so you have your it says message from so-and-so, and then there's a little icon to click on that, like if you get a photo, you have to know to click on that to open that photo. Many times it just doesn't open up.
So
I think where you're referring to is the officer, Matthew Wen, said that he thought that 10 were opened, but he couldn't tell, and on cross-examination he admitted, well, I'm not an expert, I'm not sure. The largest issue is the state didn't present that evidence. I mean, they could have gotten that evidence.
Counsel, let's get back to what we're really here about, because we're not here to argue about the evidence. That's done. What we're here to do is interpret the statute, okay? And that's our foundational problem as we look at the jury instructions.
Well, to be fair to him, Chief Justice, he was responding to my question about what the expert testified constitutes a computer. I didn't take his responses as being a substantive argument about the evidence.
Okay, I did take it that way, so perhaps it's my error. I do want to go and look at the statute, and I want to look at it in a particular way. I thought your brief was quite good, but there was section after section that talked about accessing the Internet. I don't find those words in the statute. So if you can explain to me why that was a good argument to make when Internet is not a word that is used in 948.075, that would help me understand better your argument with the statute.
Well, the argument, when you provided us your order of what questions you wanted addressed, we addressed those.
Okay.
I personally do not believe that is that large of an issue, and I certainly wouldn't hang my hat on that. Again, I think that camouflages the issue, because you asked counsel, is the phone part of the computerized communication system, or is it the computerized communication system? And my answer to you on that is it's neither. But the Internet was a component because of the expert's testimony about how you access the photos, what type of technology you have. So, in other words, if you make a landline call, you're using a different system than if you make a cellular call, than if you're downloading photos. Those are, quote-unquote, three different systems, to my understanding, okay? Now, while that is a distinction, I really don't think we get there. I don't think we get to that technical analysis because of the term of art, computerized communication system.
Well, and that is the term that I wanted you to define, and as I read your brief, I took it to mean in order to be a commuterized communication system, it had to be able to access the Internet. And my concern is I don't see those words there, and that's how I understood your argument, and that's the genesis for my question.
Yes, thank you. And I can understand how you would ask that question. It's not my arguments. You know, as I stand here before you today, it's not my arguments that we should get lost in the weeds of this expert's testimony. I quite frankly think the matter should have been disposed of on a directed verdict because of the issue that was raised at that time. It's vague. You cannot tell me that ordinary and common people can look at that term of art and extrapolate what the legislature meant by it. And I think the fact that we're all struggling with those three words, it demonstrates that.
So is your best argument that this is void for vagueness because no one can define these terms?
Yeah, I absolutely think that is. As I stand here before you today, the statute is void for vagueness. You know, when you look in Black's dictionary, we talk about ambiguity and we talk about vagueness. And I know that we colloquially will use the word ambiguity to mean more than two meanings, but it really is defined in the law meaning two meanings. I mean, it could be either or. As you look at that term of art, you cannot say what it is. You might think that it's using a cell phone. You might think that it's using the Internet. And you might think that the state thinks that it's using any phone.
Well but we use experts to help juries understand things that are beyond the ken of the average layperson all the time. And that's why you somewhat surprised me when you said, well, I don't think it's necessary to get, your phrase was, lost in the weeds of the expert testimony. Because I thought that was a part of your argument in your brief to say that the expert, even if the expert's testimony is true in regard to what constitutes a computer, that was offered and I assume received into evidence for the purpose of helping the jury understand at least one of the terms of the three in the phrase we're talking about. That's why I was asking you about the text messages and the photographs.
And that's a great point, but as we know from the anatomy of the trial, that had to be done by the defense because the judge had already told the counsel that this is how this jury instruction was going to be. It was going to be the standard jury instruction 2135, and then they did these two add-ons. So think about it. It says, here's the standard jury instruction. After you hear that, now I want you, the jury, to decide what it means.
You must determine whether the phone described in the evidence constitutes a computerized communication system. And I thought, unless I'm mistaken, I thought the expert testimony was offered for the purpose of assisting the jury in determining whether the item, the track phone, constituted a computer.
I think that is why the prosecution in part offered it, but as I mentioned previously, I really believe that the court and the prosecutor were not looking at this phrase. They were looking at computer throughout the course of the trial. When you read the transcripts, that becomes, I believe, clear that their focus was misaligned for that issue on that particular topic.
And that explains your response to Justice Abrahamson by saying, I'm not arguing... I don't want to argue about what the expert said or didn't say. I don't want to argue about the definition of computer. My argument is this is void for vagueness.
I think it's clearly void for vagueness, and I think that when you couple that with the third part of the court's jury instruction, we talked about computer, is where you really have the wheels come off.
Assuming we come out your way on this, how would the legislature have to amend this to cover this situation?
Well, I think it's, you know, I think drafting legislation is not as easy as it looks. However, I think how they could do it is to use those words that we use colloquially. So for example, I believe that they could say either in the affirmative or in the negative. If you look at the Court of Appeals decision, that court tried to say what it wasn't. It said, well, it's not this, but we don't know what it is. I think the simplest way to do it is to either cross-reference other statutory sections of definitions of computer or texting or whatever type of communications they wish to affix to the statute, or in the alternative, make it as broad as they could say and try to make it as the state argues a big net. But you can't, you know, think about it. If you rule against my client, you're not casting a net for something broader. You're giving the prosecution virtually an unlimited tool to punish defendants, but you're giving lawyers the impossible task of trying to figure out what that is.
I'm struggling a bit with your argument that the phrase computerized communication system is overly broad, because if I break down the words, I don't think anyone would dispute, but tell me if you are disputing this, that there was communication between the two individuals through phones. There was communication.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there were telephone calls and there were text messages.
Okay. So there was communication. That's undisputed. For two phones to communicate with each other, they have to be part of a system. Do you agree with that?
No, I do not. Because what system? I have AT&T as my cell phone carrier. There is Cellcom. There is Verizon. What's the system? Who makes the system?
I don't think it matters, but it is a system, because unless the two telephones are connected by a cord so they can talk to each other, there's got to be a system of some type in place, as I understand that term. Otherwise, they couldn't communicate with each other.
Well,
it's a broad term.
I don't think so. I would disagree with that. I think that when you start talking about systems, you get into the word undoubtedly processes, right? I mean, you know, systems and processes go together. And who's going to govern this system? Who's going to govern this process? I think of a system as this. I have a network in my office. Okay, that's a system. I think that I belong to Wealth Council, a group of lawyers in the nation. That we all go to the same database. That's a system. See, when they drafted this legislation, think about it. They were talking about what Justice Gableman referred to as somebody who was going into a chat room or a message board to portray themselves as a young person, to affiliate with a young person. When you text, you know who you're texting, and when you call, I mean, supposedly, unless you just dial a random number, you know who you're calling. That's not a system. That's one-on-one. If I'm going to text you, which I can't do because I don't have your number, not a system.
A system, to me, suggests something technological. There is a system in place for devices to communicate with each other. Then if I turn to the word computerized, you have somebody taking a phone and they're pressing buttons and words appear on somebody else's phone. How else could that occur if there wasn't a computer doing that processing? What else transfers that data, that input, into words, into letters?
Okay. Well, let me answer that first part. There's a lot of systems that are non-computerized, right? I mean, we have a lot of systems for filing records in the court that are non-computerized. We have some that are computerized. This particular word of this phrase of art, as the appellate court called it, has to have all three together. And what you just said to me about you have this phone that you text, I have a BlackBerry. I use very few of the features on it. And I use it primarily to do three things, email, text, and call. I do not consider that to be a computer. In fact, quite to the contrary, I hate working on it because I can't see it because the numbers are too small. So I like to work on my computer. But to take that leap of faith for the common person, I don't agree that. I mean, I think I'm above ordinary intelligence, at least I hope to think that, and I don't think of it in those terms. And I think the legislature has the duty to say this is what it is and this is what it isn't. Think about who we typically charge with crimes. In most cases, it's the people that are less educated and have less financial resources. And for them to try to say that this is a computerized communication system, I don't know that they could even articulate what that means. And the legislature could have taken this issue to task. Bear in mind, they amended the statute four times. And they could have done it during that time.
We do have a definition of computer under the computer crime statute. Do you think that that has some relevance to our interpretation of the statute at hand?
Can you please tell me what section
you're
looking at?
It's 943.70.
Yeah, I think we addressed that in our brief. When you look at that definition, the legislature said it relates to that section. So it
so
does
you don't
not
think
relate.
It's helpful?
Well, I don't think the – I mean, we have to look at what the legislature said, right? And what the legislature said is it relates to that section. It doesn't relate to 946 or 947 or 948. Again, this is my whole entire problem with the statute. The legislature could have easily fixed this.
Why couldn't the legislature say all communications and then have all these other elements and that they constitute a crime?
They could.
They could, right?
I don't know if that would be constitutional, but I think they could do that if they wanted to try it.
Yeah. Well, any communication. Doesn't have to be a computer. Now, is this phone a computer?
No.
It's not a computer.
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Because it's a phone. It's demonstrate. When we use ordinary words, the example I gave you with my tablet, my computer, we don't speak that way. We don't talk that way.
Is there any telecommunication system in this country that isn't computerized? If you know.
I'll give you a common sense answer. I suspect that I am still one of the few people in Wisconsin that have a landline at my home and in my office. And I suspect that when I call into my local telephone company, they probably do have computers that somehow service that. But I think that is a really large leap of faith to jump to saying, well, the legislature, when it passed this law back then, meant this. Now, the state would like you to believe that it morphed into this. And if that's what the legislature wants, that's what they should do. But it didn't. And the prosecution is trying to take this law and to say, well, we think it means this. And judge, add on to it. Add a definition of computer that the legislature said doesn't apply to this chapter.
But we have a definition of computer for this case from the expert who testified that the phone was a computer, the phone that's at issue
that was
here,
his,
right?
That was his opinion.
Well, that's but the only testimony that I know that's in the record. There's not testimony that says, no, it's not.
But then we have to...
Isn't that right? It's uncontradicted testimony that the phone is a computer.
I think there was some cross-exam that went into that issue, but that was the only expert put forth for that issue.
Yep.
But I think, Chief Justice, it was compounded by the fact that the circuit court judge then instructed the jury what computer meant. So that's not the expert. That's the presiding official in the mm-hmm. case. And he provided a statute that the legislature said does not apply to this chapter. We can't be at a point of the law where...
Was there an objection made to all of these jury instructions that you're complaining about?
Are you referring to on the record?
Of course.
To my understanding, in chambers, yes. On the record, no.
Okay, well, we have to go with what the record says. That's why we have a record.
I understand.
Counsel, Court of Appeals didn't have all this problem as we are having during oral argument today regarding the definition of a computerized communication system. Rather, they analyzed it by looking at a few statutes that use that same term, and were comfortable enough, it appears, with the definition that they were able to derive. They decided this case instead on an erroneous jury instruction. The erroneous jury instruction being that the circuit court said that a phone is a computer, and instead the court should have, and I'm quoting from their last paragraph of their opinion, instead the court should have asked the jury whether McKillop's various alleged uses of the cell phone constituted communication via a computerized communication system. They said because the wrong question was asked, the real controversy was not tried. Why aren't you satisfied winning on that?
I didn't catch the last part. I'm sorry.
You satisfied winning on that rationale? In other words, I am asking, why aren't there any arguments advanced here today
with regard to that's what you're hanging your hat on, rather than the definition of computerized communication system?
Well, the answer to that question is the questions posed in front of me dealt with computerized communication systems, and I'm trying my best to answer your questions. But to that point is this. What do I think my best argument is? I think it is unconstitutionally vague. There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, I cannot find people who can come up with a definition to describe it. They can come up to show me what a cell phone is, what a computer is, but it's a stretch to say that this is something else. But as it relates to the matter not being tried, it absolutely wasn't, because the prosecutor, if you really read the testimony carefully, they shape-shifted through arguments. What was tried at the case and what was argued at the Court of Appeals and now what's coming before you, that's a shape-shift. And, in fact, the Court of Appeals was so frustrated, well, that's probably not the best word. They were so empty on its authority to move forward, it ordered oral arguments because it didn't feel the briefs on appeal answered its questions. But the matter was not tried because think about what the jury's told. The jury's in the box, and the circuit court judge says, this is the standard jury instruction under 2135. And he reads it. Then he says, you, the jury, are to determine what computerized communication system is. Then he says, but I, the judge, regardless of what the expert tells you, I am going to tell you what computer is. I'm going to tell you what the law is. That's how he phrased it. And so they were left with that. So they go back to deliberate, and they said, the judge told us what a computer is, and we have to act on that. And it's really, I think, why the Court of Appeals felt the matter was not tried, because the oxygen in the trial was not focused on was that a computerized communication system. My honest opinion on that, in reviewing, I wasn't at the trial. As you may, I don't know if any, how aware you are, I didn't try the case.
I know you're not.
And so my honest thought of that was, the oxygen at the trial was consumed by the two prior crimes, and that this was a throw-in, and it was not treated with that thought process until it came to the Court of Appeals, and that's why counsel's telling you that the state doesn't know. It's not sure, because it really never developed that.
The argument, as I understood it, was focused trial, was whether there was contact here, sexual contact or assault, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the lion's share of the arguments.
That was the lion's share, and the jury said no. There was no conviction on that ground, right?
Correct. They found no credibility to that.
So it would be very hard to overturn that verdict. So we're here on another issue in that case, namely this communication system issue. Now, the thing that I found so interesting about the Court of Appeals is it never defines those three words, together or separately. And it sends it back for a new trial, and what were the instructions going to be in the new trial?
Well, as I understood the Court of Appeals, when you read its decision, what it said was that it asked the state what the definition of that was, and it didn't get one. It asked the defendant what the definition was, and it didn't receive one.
Right.
It then, well, it went through a long narrative. It said we went to the dictionary, right, and we couldn't find that phrase, and we went to the dictionary, and we couldn't find the words that comported together, and
it went to the internet. To other statutes.
And it went to the internet, and it went to the statutes, and nowhere did it find this as it calls a phrase of art. So I believe what the Court of Appeals is instructing the circuit court is that the circuit court should read jury instruction 2135. Now, what I find so amazing about that, as someone who now would try the case, is that we still have this fundamental issue that it could still be void for vagueness, and as a defense attorney, I have to determine either through expert testimony and developing those words with the common or ordinary intelligence of the jurors, but I can't be we all know, right? I mean, the most powerful voice in the courtroom is the court, is the judge. And so if the judge is going to give definitions to these words, those definitions are going to hold the day. But I think that what the Court of Appeals is going to have to...
There was no guidance by the Court of Appeals.
What I read through it is to use 2135. That is the standard jury instruction.
Right.
That's how I took it. That's how I took it.
But it has no definition in the standard jury instruction. So it goes back, and that's it. So you still have that problem when it goes back. And I just read the Court of Appeals as saying, in effect, it doesn't know.
And that
it doesn't give you a definition, and it doesn't give you a statutory interpretation.
I've read all these briefs carefully, as you have, and what I believe the state is here asking you to do is to give a definition to the term, to the phrase, computerized communication system. And I am not here asking you to do that, because I do not believe that that is the function of the judiciary.
Thank you, counsel.
I have another question for you. One, in the state's brief in footnote 13, it says the state's argument that a violation of this statute doesn't depend on whether the person accessed the Internet. Now, that's not what I understand their argument today. It says, because the state's argument that a violation of the statute doesn't depend on whether a person accessed the Internet, the point is not germane to the state's argument. So we've had a lot of discussion on Internet, but when the state comes back up, I'll ask about that again. Now, we got a petition. First of all, somebody may have been you sent a letter to the court in January asking for assistance, help, guidance, right?
Yes. Chief Justice, am I allowed to?
You know,
yes.
The court has not decided to take this matter up today. So Justice Abrahamson is going on her own, not with a decision from her colleagues on the court, because we haven't discussed it. We have your petition for review. It has not been presented to the full court.
And what I'm asking you is, do I have permission to continue?
You can always answer a justice's question.
All right. You did file a letter. The clerk of the court sent back a response, right?
Yes.
And said we don't give advisory opinions, so we don't give guidance. And so you went back to the trial court, right, for bail?
Yes.
And then you went up to the Court of Appeals?
Yes.
And the Court of Appeals said it's in the Supreme Court and we have no authority. We don't have the record. We don't have nothing. It's all up here, right?
Well, I don't recall that their specific language, but they deferred on giving us a decision, and they basically directed us to ask for that relief from this court.
Okay. So now we get this petition for review, and I want to know, is it a petition for review or is it a motion here?
Well, we put it in the petition form because after we had checked with the office, that is the form we were asked to put it in. It's a motion to have that issue decided while this matter is pending before this court.
And you want release on bail pending a decision of this court on the merits?
That is correct. We believe that under the reversal by the Court of Appeals, until this court takes different action, that reversal then would cause the defendant to be allowed to have terms of bail and bond.
So you labeled this petition for review, but it could stand as a motion here.
Yes.
And I'd like you to tell me why this court should or should not grant bail.
Because I believe that under the, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, if it's pronounced roll, I think it's R-O-H-L. I don't know that I'm pronouncing that correctly. Under that standard, once the reversal occurs and it gets remanded back to the circuit court, the rights of the defendant should be paramount to have that right for bail and bond hearing, and then the discretion of the trial court would be to determine what would be reasonable under the circumstances. The standards that we cited in that petition
Counsel,
The other side has not had a chance to respond to your petition. I understand the position you're being placed here by Justice Abrahamson. I urge you to consider your position as an officer of the court, and opposing counsel has not had an opportunity to respond. Okay, just because we don't take it up today doesn't mean that we won't take it up at some point in time.
Well, he asked for direction, and
you may my direction essentially.
I don't think he should be responding.
This is really not what we should be doing here, okay? This is something that the court should decide to take up as a court, and you both should have an opportunity to speak to it.
Well, I'm going to ask the
same
question of the state.
But this member of the bench appreciates your asking for clarification.
I'm not criticizing you. I understand the position you're being put in, and I wish I could get you out of it.
Well,
you're in it.
Can.
You may proceed.
Your Honor, Chief Justice, I had one asked because I don't wish to offend this court. I hope you can appreciate the fact that I always take direction of the court in all circumstances, whether it's a municipal judge or this high court.
I would ask for a conference on this issue if he is going to continue.
Right.
I would ask for a 10-minute conference.
Okay. My view is that we will let opposing counsel have an opportunity to respond to what you filed with this court. We always do that. If we are going to take it up and discuss it, we will let you both speak to it. But I'm not going to have opposing counsel respond to what you're saying today when she hasn't even had a chance to respond to your writings, which we got yesterday or perhaps the day before. So this is totally, completely out of order, and it's my suggestion to you that you excuse yourself, and my suggestion to my colleague that she be fair to both people who are before us.
I certainly will be fair to both.
In the absence of a direction from the Chief Justice, if she is looking for input from her colleagues, I would request for a 10-minute conference to vote on this.
Okay, we can't vote on it, Justice Gableman, without the states having an opportunity to respond.
He either talks or he doesn't talk.
Has been on for
You know, I'm gonna make an executive decision.
Good.
Your participation is concluded, okay? You can get after me if you don't like what I'm doing. That's certainly your right. But your participation is concluded, and now we'll have rebuttal on the case that was noticed for today, on the issues that were noticed for today by the state. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Justice. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Just a couple of things.
Would you pull the microphone closer to you?
Sure. Sorry. Is that better?
Yep, yes. Much better. Thank
okay.
you.
Sorry about that. Just a couple of things. I'm not asking you to give a definition of computerized communication system, although I guess I don't struggle so much with one. I think I just came up with one. I think we can use the definition of computer in the computer crime statute, and although the legislature has said it applies in that section, it certainly doesn't forbid us from using it in another one, and I can't think of a reason why computer would be defined differently in different parts of the criminal code. But how about just a set of connected things used to exchange information using an electronic device that performs logical, arithmetic, and memory functions and processes and stores data? So I think that we continue to use 2135 as the Court of Appeals suggested, and then have an expert perhaps testify on what a computer is. And actually, I think in addition to the expert's testimony on what a computer is, he a little bit of testifying as to how when you send messages, they're all interconnected to a server system. So that goes into a little bit about the system and the connection and, of course, the communication. So I think that solves that problem without having a vagueness problem, and I think juries can use communication and system from their definitions in their everyday lives. And I think going back to Justice Ziegler's point about 947.0125, I don't see any reason why we wouldn't use computerized communication system in the same way there. I think the legislature clearly meant that sending a harassing text is the same thing as sending a harassing email, and to punish it in the same way. I can't think of a reason why sending a harassing email and text would be treated differently in the same way as sending an enticing an email over a laptop should be treated differently than over a text message. And I think that ordinary people use their phones in the same way these days that they use laptops or tablets and other devices, and I think the legislature made this language so broad to try to keep up with technology that they couldn't anticipate.
Is there any type of legislative history that underlies the creation of this statute that you're aware of?
There's very little that I could find. I would say nothing. There's a little blip before the bill that's not legislative history. It's just the
LRB's statement about what it does
yeah.
or what it doesn't do.
Right.
Yeah, thank you. Was this in the budget bill?
Yes, I think originally, yes. Yes.
It was in the budget bill.
Yes.
Right. Which generally doesn't have very much
right.
history in it.
Right.
I understand that, and that was the difficulty I hear. If I interrupted you, you may continue, but if not, I do want to ask you about footnote 20. Footnote 13, which says the internet is not important, but it seems to me that your argument here was that connection with the internet was important.
No, absolutely not. My position has always been that it's of no import. I think the internet may have been used in this case. I think there's conflicting testimony on that, but no, my point has been always from the beginning, if the legislature had intended for the internet to be of import, it would have used the word internet in the statute.
So could they have drafted a statute that says all communication and then all the other elements the same and you have a crime?
I'm not an expert on the First Amendment, but I think that given how lenient we are with child sex crimes and communication, I think that's probably, if that would survive constitutional challenge, I think perhaps. But like I said, I don't know all the challenges that the First Amendment and child sex crimes have faced in terms of communication, but maybe. I mean, I think the overt act is the big thing that saved this statute in general.
What was the overt act here?
I think the kissing and the sexual contact. I also
even though the jury didn't find sexual contact.
I think the jury acquitted on the charge of sexual assault of a child, but mixed verdicts like that are something that we, I think, accept.
Didn't they acquit on two charges, or am I mistaken?
Two charges of sexual assault of a child?
Yeah.
The relevant offense here is facilitation, right, not completion. Facilitation by use of a computerized communication system.
Right. And obstruction, right? But he doesn't challenge
the obstruction. Well, he admitted to the obstruction
right.
virtually.
Oh, and I just the final point. I think maybe I misunderstood opposing counsel, but I think he said that Judge Hoover, in his opinion, said that a jury couldn't decide what a computerized communication system was, and I don't read the opinion as saying that. In fact, quite the contrary. I think he sent it back for just the standard instruction.
Did he define it? Did Judge Hoover
No.
define it?
No, but I think the understanding is that the pattern instruction, absent the circuit court's insertion was enough with the expert for a jury to figure out for itself.
I think he defined it, but see if you agree with this. I think that the Court of Appeals defined the term sufficiently enough to say that a phone is not a communication, computer communication system. They went that far.
Yes, I would agree with that. I think that the court found that the circuit court's instruction that the jury must find that the phone was not, so sort of a definition in the negative, I suppose.
Well, but that was the error in this case.
That's what the Court of Appeals found.
So all they did was find that the phone, even if it's a computer, is not sufficient, because a computer alone as a device and doesn't become a system. Maybe component of it, but not by itself.
Per the Court of Appeals decision, right.
Yeah, so that's where the error comes in, so they find it as nothing more than this was error.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you both for a fine argument. I'm sorry that you had to get taken into something that's internal here about how we handle matters. There was nothing inappropriate about what you filed. There was nothing inappropriate about any answer you tried to give to questions that were made to you. So I want that to be perfectly clear. You both did a very good job of arguing, and we will give your case our utmost attention. It's a very interesting and significant case. Thank you, and we are adjourned. The court will meet at 10 minutes after 3 in closed conference.